रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेद से रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः। सुंदरकांड चैप्टर नंबर 11, द ड्रिंकिंग सलोन। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। बट देन मारुति चेक्ड हिमसेल्फ इन हिज मैड फ्लाइट एंड गेव अ चांस फॉर सोबर थॉट टू एंटर हिज ब्रेन। Then grave doubts came across the horizon of his mind in thick clouds and dashed to the ground all his too fond hopes of having come upon the daughter of King Janaka, and black care and gloom fell upon him again. The Lady Janaki, torn from the hands of her beloved Lord Rama, cannot but be aware of his misery. And would she thus sleep like the joyful, the careless and the contented? Would she ever turn her thoughts to even the necessities of life, food and drink? Would she ever even waste a thought in her wildest dreams of any other mate but her Lord Rama, be he the very ruler of the gods? And doesn't she know that the countless world holds no other who could even stand within measurable distance of Raghava? So, this lady is not Sita, but some other noble woman. Having thus decided within himself, he renewed his search through the halls. There he found many a lady as she slept at her ease under the influence of wine and sleep. Some were tired of chess, chowries, bells, dice, dominoes and other parlor games. Sleep, tyrannical and not to be refused, caught them as they were in the midst of a song or a dance. Some fell a victim to the insidious approaches of wine. Some lay pillowed upon instruments of music. Some lay upon lounges. Some upon priceless rugs and carpets, all sunk in the arms of sleep. Mariti failed to find Sita among them and came back to where Ravana lay asleep. His wives never had enough of praising their lord's beauty and excellences of character with deep devotion. There was none of them who was not a skillful singer and expounder of the substance thereof most clearly. Perfect tact and adaptability marked every one of them. They knew when to speak and how to speak. Ravana, their lord, enjoyed himself with them to his heart's delight, and Mariti beheld him as he slept the sleep of weariness and exhaustion. Like a lordly bull in the midst of his cows, or a mighty elephant in the midst of his mates in the depths of the forests, he, the lord and ruler of the Rakshasa Empire, lay at his ease. Then Mariti came back to the drinking hall, filled with everything that the heart could desire. There lay all over it heaps and heaps of finely cooked beef, venison, mutton and bacon. Countless plates of beaten gold, broad and shapely, held the remains of the flesh of peacocks, fowls, deer, porcupine, boar, prepared with curds and ruchaka. Yet other bowls, jars and jugs held the flesh of strange birds, bisons, goats and fish, most skillfully prepared and with all various liquors, cakes and pastes. Pickles flavored with salt and tamarind, condiments flavored with white mustard and representative of the 6 varieties of taste, garlands, anklets, rings, necklaces and other ornaments cast off by men and women under the influence of drink, fruits of infinite variety preserved in various liquids graced the hall, even as if it offered worship to the goddess of the earth with handfuls of flowers. The beds and the lounges and seats that lay scattered around made the hall all ablaze with light and splendor, though there was no fire to indicate it. Mariti beheld flesh of various kinds, preserved apart and most skillfully cooked with curious varieties of experts. Different shades of Varuni, the drink that arose from the ocean of milk as it was churned of old by the Devas and the Asuras, liquors extracted from sugar, honey, flowers and fruits, drinks artificially prepared with wonderful skill and variety, and every imaginable kind of washes, pastes, cosmetics, pigments, lotions, and other toiletries were to be found there in plenty. Grapes, dates, palm, sugarcane, jaggery, coconut, beehives, madhuka, and other articles afforded scope for the skill and originality of the arts in the extraction of liquors and essences, even as thousands of years ago. The ground was strewn with vessels of gold and crystal to hold food and drink of various shapes, size, design, and fancy work. There were huge jars and jugs of gold and silver in which were drawn, ready for use, rare drinks. Other vessels there were, cups, bowls, goblets and such like, for the liquors to pass round, and they were fashioned of gold and silver, encrusted with gems. Some vessels had never been touched at all. Some were half full, some were empty. Here lay the remains of various kinds of prepared food. Here lay cakes and confectionery of various sorts. Here were seen the drugs of drinks, and here were scattered the broken fragments of priceless vessels. Here lay jars, jugs, and pots in various spaces of confusion and disorder. Here were garlands, chaplets, and fruits soaked with water. And there were ranged many couches, sofas, lounges, and beds for women to recline upon. There lay many ladies in deep sleep, clasped in each other's arms, or covered with the garments of their sleeping friends. Their sweet and soft breath lightly stirred their robes and garlands like the zephyr from the south. It rested then and there on cool sandal, honey, essences, wine, flowers, and chaplets of various kinds, rare perfumes and incenses, and laden with their coolness and fragrance, carried them faithfully to the Pushpaka where Ravana lay asleep. Some of the ladies there were dark of line, some were white as pure milk, some showed a fine blend of complexion, and some displayed shapely limbs like gold billows. They reminded one of lotuses on a dark pool that closed their eyes in deep sleep at the departure of the Lord of Day, as they all lay there, abandoned under the influence of weariness, fatigue, sleep, and sweet indulgence. Marathi of blinding radiance sought from end to end most carefully the sleeping halls of Ravana, but failed to come upon the Lady Janaki. His heart was dark and heavy. Alas, I have been guilty of the sin of beholding the wives of others during sleep in the privacy with their lord and husband. This will doubtless sully my fair fame and cast a blot upon my stern celibacy. True it is that my heart is not in the least touched or disturbed by these sights, yet it is black iniquity to cast one's eyes even indifferently upon the wives of others. He remained for some time sunk in deep thought, but he shook himself free from it with a mighty effort. Fie upon my weak-heartedness! It is fatal to the quest upon which I have come over here. And he resumed his natural keenness of intellect and dauntlessness of heart, and set himself to discuss his future plans. Verily, I have been guilty of the sin of casting my eyes upon the wives of Ravana as they lay in the confidence of privacy. But my heart is as pure and spotless as ever. The mind it is that impels the senses to action, good and bad, is it not? Now my heart is not dimmed by the slightest flutter of passion. I might have avoided this contingency were it not for the fact that I could not search for the Lady Janaki in a better place where women naturally gather. It is but natural and right that we must search for an object in the midst of its class. Who will ever dream of looking for a woman in a herd of deer? But unfortunate I am. I have left no place unsearched in this vast harem of Ravana, but the Lady Janaki is not anywhere in it. The best and fairest types of womanhood of the worlds of Devas, the Gandharvas and the Nagas have passed under my eyes, but the noble wife of Raghava is not among them. He was again beset with anxiety and doubt, but he cast it away from him, and coming out of the drinking hall, he began to search afresh in the sleeping halls of Ravana. Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunamte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.